Thanks for making us part of your day here on the Clark Howard Show. This show's all about you. I want to protect that wallet of yours. I want to keep you from being ripped off by anybody. And I've got a ripoff for you coming up in just a few minutes where people had $1 billion stolen from them. Wait till you hear how and why and what the lesson is for you. And coming up later, all about spending less. When it's time for dental care, do you know ways you should protect your wallet and your health, dental health at the same time? I'm going to show you. I want to talk right now about something that is seldom discussed. We're in an era that people are doing remodeling, additions, all kinds of stuff to their homes in unprecedented amounts. And it's because so many people are in what's called housing lock. You may have bought a home when interest rates were especially low, and it's crazy to sell potentially because you can't buy something else and get an interest rate anywhere near what you have right now. And so it leads you to think about, well, we should do this renovation, we should do this addition or whatever, because it's going to pay off great. But here's a fact, and I want you to remember this. Renovations, additions to your home are for your enjoyment, or specifically to get a home ready for sale that whatever needs to be repaired, renovated, or whatever, if it's not, you're going to have your home as like a wounded duck trying to sell it. But if you think putting a dollar in is going to pay off with more than a dollar back, it's almost impossible to do that. I want to give you the numbers. This is from a trade publication for the building and remodeling industry. So this is what they know as members, but don't necessarily share with you. So a bathroom addition is going to pay back 60 cents on each dollar you spend. A remodel is going to pay back about 67 cents on each dollar you put in. So think about that, that it's going to make living in the house much more enjoyable. But for every dollar you spend, you're going to net back only roughly 60 cents in benefit. So you're 40 cents in the hole for every dollar you spend. How about a kitchen? Well, interestingly enough, major kitchen remodel, 60 cents on the dollar again. Because those are the two things we do most often, kitchens and baths. So again, for every dollar you put in, you're down 40 cents. That doesn't mean you don't do it. It means don't kid yourself that you're doing the two most common improvements in a home because it's going to pay off when you sell the home. It's because you're going to enjoy it while you live in the home, which is just fine. The only time you can bend that ratio to where the dollar in will get you a dollar out is if you are someone who is capable of doing the work yourself. Not someone who thinks they're capable and does it, but if you're somebody who actually can do that kind of work, then you will get the payback. Producer Joel renovated a bathroom himself in his first rental property. And at the time, I was at the house with Joel, and I told you, you were crazy. You were out of your mind.
Well, I mean, I general contracted myself, but I wasn't hand laying the tile or anything like that.
Oh, so you did a lot of the stuff. You did a mix.
I know how to put in a toilet. I can do some basic stuff, but I really was able to find the people to do the work for me and shop it around. But yeah, no, I'm not installing subfloor, putting in bathtubs, anything like that. That's just way above my pay grade.
Okay. So, but for your case, there was a rental property that you needed to have decent bathroom and kitchen both needed work. You did it, and it's getting you great rent for every month. So for you, there's a specific investment return.
Yes, most definitely.
All right. How about putting in a patio that's so in right now, putting in like a backyard grilling area or whatever? You get back 55 cents on each dollar you put in market value for the home. Putting a deck on, well, that's better. You get 70 cents back for each dollar you put in. How about putting on a new master suite on your home, a very popular thing to do? 50 cents on each dollar. So it doesn't mean you don't do it. You may, for quality of life, or you may have had another kid or whatever, you want to add that master suite. And as long as you stay in the home, that's what it should be about, is the benefit you have from enjoying it living in the home. So again, there is not a single improvement you can do where you hire a contractor and it will pay off for you even dollar for dollar where you don't lose any money. But life is not just about making money. It is about enjoying as well. And if you want to do improvements, know why you're doing them. Don't lie to yourself and say you're doing them because, well, it's going to make you so much money. Bob is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Clark.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Good, thank you. How can I serve you?
Well, Clark, I'm in this new culture, new generation of not having a home phone, and I've got young teenage boys, I guess 12 and 14, and we live out in the country, away from the main road, and there are times when my wife and I have date night, we leave our boys at home, and there is no home phone. And we are also not of the mindset of we're not ready to give our boys cell phones yet that have full cell phone capability and smartphone and that kind of thing, and we're
You just want them to have dial tone for an emergency.
Absolutely. Just a cheap flip phone kind of thing. And okay. I'm struggling to find those phones still in existence and wondering if there's any solution like that. What I have found is sort of the flip phone, but there's still a monthly charge. And I know there used to be at least the phone that you just had so many minutes and it you know, carried over through the whole year. And
well, there are two companies that work on a freemium business model for cell phone service. Okay. And the oldest in the game is one called Freedom Pop, and the other is Free Up Mobile.
Okay.
And both of them give you a certain amount of calling and texting for free each month.
Okay.
And so they do it as a teaser, hoping that you'll get loyal to them and you'll buy more stuff, buy data, buy whatever. But you can get just basic calling and texting for free.
Okay.
And people do still sell flip phones. You should be able to find them at Walmart or go on eBay and buy inexpensive flip phones. And it is something that has actually become almost like a back, a nostalgia thing that I'm seeing more people with flip phones again.
Yes. Clark, are these the two options you mentioned? Do they piggyback off standard brand of Verizon or AT&T?
Yeah, all standard network. They're what's called resellers, or there's an industry term for it, but reseller would be the best way to think of it.
Okay, super. Well, that sounds like a great option for me. I wasn't ready to go back to the copper wired landline here, and also was not ready to go for a monthly charge for something that was very, very minimally used.
And if it was truly only for an emergency, something no cell phone carrier wants you to know, but any old phone without having a service plan connected to it will call 911 at any time for free.
Okay.
So if it's truly only for a death emergency, you don't even need to do either of these things. But if you want it to be more like they could call us if something was going on or whatever, they're able to do so.
And, yeah, that's the option I'm looking for.
And FreeUp in particular uses AT&T, and their free plan is 1,000 talk minutes and 1,000 text messages.
That sounds like a good option. What's the cost on that, Clark?
It's free.
Absolutely free.
Absolutely free.
Wow, nothing in life is free. I guess it's...
No, remember, think how many websites we go to that are free. How many... Think about people who download games that they can download for free. But then if you want the best version of the game, you have to pay for it. That's how all these things work that I'm talking about with the free cell phones. So it's the same idea. Get you in their house. Once you're in the house, start selling you furniture you didn't know you wanted. That was a terrible analogy. Margie's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Margie.
Hi, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Margie. You want to capture the power of the sun.
I know. I've been thinking about it. I would like your opinion on, is that a good thing to do where I live? And if it's going to be worth it, cost-wise.
So I am a huge solar fan. And I first installed solar 15 years ago before it made any economic sense at all. And so I'm just, there are things I do just because I'm such an advocate of us finding new ways to do things that will improve the air that our kids breathe. And ultimately, now we're at a point where it'll save us money.
Yes.
For putting in things like solar. And solar really has a great payback across the Southwest and a lot of the South.
Yes.
Because of the amount of sun there is. And so there are formulas. I don't want you to take any recommendations from people who are selling solar systems. I want you to run your own numbers on how good solar would be or not be where you live.
Right.
And so there are tools online. I mean, you can even just Google and you'll see the various calculators you can use that you put in your zip code. Uh-huh. And they're able to calculate based on the square footage of your home and where it sits and how many trees there are and all that, how efficient solar would be where you exactly live.
Right. And well, I did some research online, and all I was getting really was companies coming up with what size panel you wanted and how you want it, like off the grid, on the grid. And I see I don't know any of that. So there is a calculator I can go to.
So I just did Google right away.
Right.
And there's one after another, not from anybody selling stuff.
Right.
And Google has its own where you can, as soon as I did home solar calculator and entered Google just while we're talking,
right,
it showed where you put in your home address,
right,
wherever you live in the country, and it will calculate for you how much you'll actually save with rooftop solar. And it's a very quick one, but as I look down, there are several different nonprofits that have calculators you can use that aren't trying to sell you anything.
That sounds perfect. Now, you think probably generally it would be a good thing because you would save, right?
Well, just again, overall, that depends on what you pay for a system.
Oh,
because
yeah,
the price differences will vary from installer to installer, because the panels aren't the expensive part anymore at a home. It's right, the labor quotient for the people that install it for you. And the panels are both much cheaper than they used to be, right, and they generate, each panel generates much more energy than they used to, right, as scientists have greatly improved the efficiency of the panels. And the greatest changes in the history of solar power have occurred in the last 8 years in terms of efficiency and price.
Right, right.
So the calculations are right, much more favorable to install solar than they used to be. But do not believe any of the promises of any organization trying to sell you panels. That's why you run your own numbers to see if there is a sweet spot for your wallet where you live.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now: getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So, just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's Clarkrageous moment is a really hideous trip into the past for me, and it involves a scheme that people were calling me about years ago. And it was a Ponzi scheme that operated under hundreds of names with the parent company known as Woodbridge Group that stole more than $1 billion from people. I don't have to say allegedly now, because now the courts have ordered restitution for this group that heavily stole from people from Florida to California. Ironically enough, originally based in Florida, ultimately a California company, promised people huge returns for investing in real estate. Instead, the money was swiped. And now all the people who lost money are hoping that the court order that involved liquidation of all the scam enterprises that pitched on radio, on TV, on websites, seminars, all that, that my hope is that there will be meaningful restitution. Just because somebody pitches with breathless enthusiasm how much money you're going to make as a real estate investor, who are they? How do you know that they really know what they're talking about? Even if they are honest, how do you know they'll be able to guarantee you the kind of money they're claiming? And that was one of the real tip-offs here. Investors are not guaranteed anything. Only savers in FDIC-insured accounts are guaranteed that their money is safe. Otherwise, when somebody gives you a breathless pitch about how you're going to make great money at no risk, you know, run the other way. Thanks for taking part of your day to join us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to keep more of what you make. Now, I'm about to step into something that always seems to fire up the dental industry, but there's a new study that was completed by the consumer group Consumers Checkbook that is a kind of research and education organization that found enormous differences in the cost of the same dental treatment, market by market, from the lowest cost place to the highest cost place. And these price differences are gigantic. The lowest to most expensive on most procedures is 6 to 10 times from the cheapest to the most expensive. And the average fee from their survey of many, many dental practices in each market, The average price is normally half or less what the high price is that they survey in a market. And you may think that the more you pay, the better care of a dentist you're going to have, or in reverse, that going to the El Cheapo is going to be a disaster. But at least the researchers at Consumers Checkbook found there was not a relationship between the price quoted and the caliber and quality of the dental practice or the result of the care at a particular dental practice. And one other thing they found is that a dentist who may offer a good price on a particular procedure may be very expensive on something else, that there was not consistency that one place was the cheapest any time. Their recommendations that are very specific and very clear is that if you are told that you need major dental work, that you are setting yourself up for trouble if you don't go get a second opinion. And you don't, when you get a second opinion or third opinion, you don't say, hey, I was told I need so-and-so. Instead, you go in and say, this is the problem I'm having, or I'm having this, that, or the other that's bothering me with my mouth, and let the dentist then guide what he or she believes the proper diagnosis is and the proper remedy. And so as you get more opinions, you're going to have a much better feel for the right way to proceed. In addition, dentists, usually completely different than how the medical industry works, dentists are used to operating in the free market and will give you, usually by email if you request, a price quote for a particular thing that you are getting a quote on. And it gives you the ability to compare and then check reputation on a dentist as best you can. And then the other part that is important to mention, a lot of dental procedures are not covered by the dental insurance, if you have dental insurance, in any major way. But something surprising to a lot of people is there are certain dental procedures that, even though they are in your mouth, are considered to be medical and may well be covered by your medical insurance if you have that. So the more research you do, the more questions you ask, the more opportunity you have to reduce costs, including if there's a dentist you really have connected with, you really like him or her, but their price on something is a lot higher, negotiate. And the dentist may be willing to, if not match the other price, may be willing to offer a discount that would be a better deal than what they first quoted to you. Jeremy joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great, thank you. You got an either or to run by me, don't you?
Correct. So I am 28 years old. I've been working since I was out of high school and finally decided to go to college these past couple of years. And I am graduating with my associate's degree, and I'm planning on going to school full time now and trying to knock out my bachelor's degree so that I can take advantage of this awesome economy we're having. And throughout this period of time since, I would say, high school, I've always had a credit card, and I've used it for different purchases, whether it be rent or just various things. And I've racked up about $6,000 in debt that I've been just slowly paying off. Now, I'm trying to get myself level-headed financially, and I have a question for you. I've worked for a company previously that offered me a retirement program and that I was taking part in. And so now I have a good amount of money in that retirement, but I'm always heard the adage, like, don't touch it, leave it alone, use that for when you actually retire. But right now I'm kind of, I feel like, drowning in this debt of interest that I'm paying on my credit card. And so I was wondering if I should use that money that I have in my retirement and put it towards my credit card if I'm going to be going to school full time and most likely be dropping down to part-time work, I would say.
Okay, great question. And there's a pretty clear path in my mind that I'd like to talk with you about. With the money you put into this retirement account, how much is there?
About $7,000.
So pretty close to what you owe in the credit card debt.
Correct.
And that money that's in that retirement account, do you remember, were they taking taxes out of that before it went in the account? In other words, a post-tax contribution or a pre-tax contribution to the retirement account?
That I'm not positive of. The only information that I have, and I've been trying to study their site and watch how it's been fluctuating, but the only thing I can see from it is that it's a multi-asset.
Okay, and was it a 401k plan of some kind?
It was.
All right. So 401k plans usually are what's known as traditional, meaning that the money that goes in is before tax has been taken out of it. So if you were to spend this money in order to pay down the credit card debt, you have to pay a 10% federal penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it, you have to pay what's known as ordinary income tax. Now, you'll be earning part-time, the tax on it would probably be totaling around maybe 30%. So the $7,000 would become like $4,900.
Okay.
So it makes it really expensive money to use towards the credit card debt.
Right.
So the tax law calls for such a severe penalty to try to prevent you from doing exactly this.
Okay.
So I would rather you leave that money as it is, not generate tax on it, and then as best you can, work on this credit card debt. Tell me what the interest rate is on that
$6,000. I would get like 15, it might be 18%.
Right, and do you know what your credit score is?
Yeah, it's still hovering around 720.
All right. I'd like you to do this. Before you drop down from full-time to part-time, go to prosper.com and lendingclub.com and see if you can refi that $6,000 into a much lower interest rate.
Okay.
And then just work on paying it as you'll need to pay exactly as the payment plan calls with Prosper Lending Club. But that would be a better path, I believe, than you wiping out this retirement money that you've worked through your 20s to save and paying all that tax on it. Cars is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, how are you?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Great, thank you. So you're somebody who's got that good volunteer kind of spirit.
Absolutely. At least I'm trying to get into it.
Well, tell me how I can be of service to you so you can serve others.
I used to volunteer back in college on the weekends, just down at the local church with the soup kitchen that they offered. But now that I'm in my full-time job, I moved to a different city. I no longer affiliated with anything, but I have grown into this passion for, one, listening to Clark Howard, and two, developing an understanding of and knowledge of personal finance. And if I could, I'd like to help other people who are looking for that themselves, because I know how hard it was for me to learn it with no help. So I don't know if there's military organizations or organizations like food banks, but they provide some type of financial coaching. I'm just not really familiar with anything like that. And if you know of anything that you could point me toward, I'd appreciate
it. I sure do. You know, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling has a volunteer program. Have you ever heard me mention NFCC?
I have.
So they have ones because a lot of people want to volunteer with them and teach others about money. And so this is a place where you can make a difference. If you go to the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, you can get referral to a local NFCC, and not all of them put volunteers to work, but you can see if any that serve the area where you live have a role that they make available for volunteers. Do you have any entrepreneurial background?
Not quite. I work a corporate job. Always have.
Okay. The reason I'll mention this for others then, is I love SCORE, the Service Corps of Retired Executives, which is for people who want to help people set up their own business, grow their own business, or counsel them on problems they're having with their own business. So that would not be a good fit for you, but SCORE.org could be for other people. Now, the other thing you can do is, and this is totally local, is that you call the local United Way affiliate near where you live, and they have a referral system for volunteers, and you can tell them you'd love to do military financial counseling or general financial counseling, and they'll be able to, if there is a good fit for you in your area that the United Way referral system has, they would be able to refer you to organizations where you could serve others that way.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. And best to you. And I love that you have that volunteer spirit and want to serve others.
Thank you, Clark. I learned it from you.
Oh, how cool. All right. So making a difference for others is something that so many of us who feel like we can't make a difference in this world, that it's all too complicated. I have been, my whole life from a teenager forward, I've been intense about the benefits that we can bring to society as volunteers, and making a difference in whatever way best works in your life, I'd love for you to do. Matthew is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Matthew.
Hello, Clark.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing? I'm traveling today. Do we have a good connection?
We have a fantastic connection. You paid your cell phone bill today.
Oh, yeah. Great. Thanks.
So you're really curious about doing something for others. Tell me about it.
Well, Clark, we have a real estate sales company, and we have an active property management department, and we advocate for home ownership in most instances for our tenants. And you've talked about how there's a few more different ways now where they can actually use their rent payments to help to boost their credit, and maybe there's some other bills that aren't getting recorded on credit in the past that maybe can be recorded now to help people. And I think that's where people are having trouble. A lot of them fall a little bit short because of marginal credit from being able to own a home. And I'd like to help them if I can.
All right. So this is a problem for so many renters, is that the traditional scoring models, the FICO scoring models, do not account for how people pay rent, utility bills, cell phone bills, so many things. And so it's like they never happened as far as the traditional scoring models work. The good news is there's a big push with FICO and with their competitors to have what they call expanded credit scores that actually will include things like rent and how you pay regular bills, and be able to generate what they believe is an accurate reading of how someone would handle credit without having any real depth of traditional credit. But that's an aspirational thing. So now there are, a lot of services that will report your rent payments to credit bureaus. And the most comprehensive list I've seen of the organizations was done in a NerdWallet story. Have you ever heard of NerdWallet?
I have not.
So NerdWallet does very similar things to what we do on Clark.com. And this is something they have written about that we have not covered, which is how to use these rent reporting services to have it appear on your credit report. And there are, I think there are 8 of them that they list, and some of them charge very high fees in order to have rent reflected as part of a credit report. Others offer the service for free or at very low cost. So you can you could, instead of you recommending one, I think it's better so that nobody says, you told me to do this company and this didn't do anything for me, that instead you refer them to a list and let them make a choice.
Okay, I will get the list from NerdWallet and pass that along.
And the headline of the article is How to Report Rent to Credit Bureaus, which is a pretty simple thing. And the people who you're looking at, one other thing I've recommended in the past is, in much of the country now, there are these special programs that are often funded by some form of tax-exempt bond, where the way you qualify for a mortgage is very different than a traditional way. The mortgages usually are a bit below market rate. They're specifically geared towards people potentially of lower income or lower credit scores. And if you go to HUD.gov, you can find a list of various agencies that have programs available, hopefully in your area, where people can qualify for a non-traditional mortgage without traditional factors being part of the decision. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com.